There's McSorley firing it. It's caught in a chance for the run by Hollywood Brown. Coming back inside the 20. Brown, a good move. And he will score. So the Ravens stay very much in this as McSorley throws his first NFL touchdown, a 70-yard to Hollywood. They're going to bring pressure. Ben's going to put it up top. And it is. And it allows it. Clark trying to pull it away from James Washington. Who hangs on for dear life. And a huge reception for a first down.
There's nobody breathing in Pittsburgh.
They might be breathing now. The Steelers escape one of the weirdest games and weirdest situations in a weird year, to put it nicely, I guess. 1914, it's Pittsburgh Steelers football escaping with the season sweep. I'm with Patrick Claibon. My name is Greg Rosenthal. We will be doing a Friday preview show. I don't know if week 13, Patrick, can get much wonkier than week 12. This felt like a fitting end to this week.
Right. A week that started about a week ago and right. Came all the way back around to the next Wednesday where we finally get this game. And we're looking at an actual game that's like, hey, this is worth watching. And then RG3 kind of pulls up lame. Luke Wilson, for some reason, forgets to secure a football after catching it. And we're deprived of what would have been a fun Wednesday afternoon.
Well, I can clearly see what you were rooting for there. Minka Fitzpatrick did make a nice play. I think you're talking about the last play of the first half. We can get to that. There was a lot that went on in this game. And there's, you know, of course, all the COVID-19 situation on both sides of the ball, really. You know, the Steelers lose their center, Pouncey, coming into the game. That was like a literally happened on Wednesday. So the news just didn't stop coming. But it was surprising that, considering all that Baltimore had lost, primarily Lamar Jackson, that this game stayed close throughout, and that we got to a point where there was a measurement at the very end, which, you know, came down to the millimeters, where, who knows, the Ravens almost got the ball back with Trace McSorley back in our lives with a chance to go win the game.
And we are deprived of a legendary Trace McSorley legacy drive opportunity where, you know, maybe he could throw the ball, you know, three Steelers could fall down and Hollywood Brown could walk into the end zone again, which, honestly, as you mentioned, the way week 12 went, that wasn't out of the realm of possibility. It could have been weird.
Yeah, there's a few things I do want to get to, but one of my biggest takeaways here, just moving forward, because the fact that the Steelers struggled to put them away and just how this game actually flowed, I don't know how much you can project everything into the future in general this year, but especially after this insane week for both of these teams. It, you know, for the Steelers, it's just like, okay, you can put the extra W in the standings and move on. The bigger problem is their long-term stuff. They lose Pouncey and they lose Bud Dupree at the end of that game. And that, it looked like a serious injury. We won't have news on that. You hurt for Dupree, who is in a franchise tag year heading into free agency. But if they don't get him back, and they won't have Pouncey back for their next game, at least against Washington, then that's trouble for Pittsburgh.
Especially in circumstances where people are legitimately looking at the schedule and thinking that 16-0 is an option. It's a possibility, but I mean, this team is mainly concerned with its playoff viability. And if you don't have, you know, your best, most consistent offensive lineman, I know Bud Dupree was beefing with the PFF folks earlier. I think we're probably going to see, what he actually means to the team, if he can't play.
I miss that. What, yeah. They have him ranked low? He's been very active this year.
Yeah, there was a disagreement with regards to how the players are ranked. And Bud Dupree hopped in, and I, you know, immediately stepped out because nerds versus jocks versus nerds versus just incessant conversation over and over again. I just don't want to hear it. Those guys aren't nerds. They evaluate football players, and, you know, Bud Dupree is a football player. He has a right to his own opinion. But, yeah, other than that, you know, asinine conversation. He is a good football player. He does provide value to the team, and we see how good that defense could be. But in terms of the game, because I know the big takeaway with the Pittsburgh Steelers in that game is, oh, you know, that was a depleted Ravens team. Like, if you're going to throw out a game, throw out a game that happens on a weird Wednesday that's been delayed five times. It should have been played the week before, where half of one team is missing. And there was just a lot going on. If you're going to throw out a game and say, hey, maybe this, we don't take away all those things from it, it's going to be what happened earlier today.
Right. I agree with that, especially when you consider all the drop passes by the Steelers, too. Two in the red zone. I mean, Deontay Johnson dropped a touchdown in the first half. And who else was it that dropped what I thought would have been a touchdown in the first half? Maybe that was James Washington, who came down with the big play at the end. And then Deontay Johnson had another drop late in the game, which helped set up the Ravens' wild touchdown when McSorley came in there. It was a little disappointing that RG3 didn't finish this game. At the time we got into the fourth quarter, he actually had more yards running than anyone in the game had running or receiving. So that's the type of game that it was. He only had about 22 yards passing coming into the fourth quarter, but he kept them close enough. And I do think it tells you a little bit of just about the makeup of the organization, that they're going to get some players back before this Cowboys game. And that, to me, is just a crucial game for them, because they're going to have to find ways to win games shorthanded against bad teams. And Dallas is a bad team. And this thing today, I think, was encouraging when it comes to that. They could still run the ball.
Yeah, they were able to run the ball. They're doing it with tight ends off the street. You know, we mentioned Luke Wilson's drop. They're bringing in new players and having them have to immediately contribute. And I think, hopefully, you know, obviously I'm a stan. People know that.
Of Lamar.
Yeah, you just kind of look at what he's been able to accomplish with the offensive line kind of falling apart. And again, you know, that we saw, you know, Hollywood had the touchdown late, but there was a play in the first half where T.J. Watt is like putting the clamps on him and running him out of bounds. Like,
well, they had 40 yards. They had 40 yards passing before that play. If there was something to take away for them, it, you know, they did get, you know, their running game did look pretty good. I think I agreed with Collinsworth's point that whatever Baltimore is doing to Pittsburgh in terms of their run defense, people really should be looking at that. Now, I know not every team has Lamar Jackson. But some other teams have mobile quarterbacks. No, RG3 is no Lamar Jackson. They ran the ball down Pittsburgh's throat in the first matchup. That was as dominant a first half as I've seen by about any team all year. They ended up blowing that game because of turnovers. The turnovers didn't help today, but they got some things done. I think they can move forward with running the ball.
Yeah, if Baltimore, Lamar Jackson, all that was standing, if Baltimore can have a third string guard playing tackle and still run the ball, you know, with its backup quarterback, then there is a means with which you can run on this Pittsburgh Steelers defense.
I know that that game next week for Pittsburgh's tricky because, you know, they're on a short week against Washington, who I think is playing, you know, really well, you know, for Washington. But if you were
Washington
gonna
caveat,
yeah, I think they've been pretty good. I think they've been the best team in the NFC East on balance, and I think they can they can compete with Pittsburgh.
Just
I was gonna say,
if
you're gonna lose a game, actually, Pittsburgh should prefer to lose an NFC game because it could come down to conference record when it comes down to the Chiefs. But their schedule the rest of the way is not easy at all. And this, to me, was, for a lot of people who haven't watched the Steelers a ton, was the ultimate Big Breeze game. That's the nickname I gave him. People think it was kind of like derogatory, and I was thinking more like 2018 Breeze, like solid, maybe not prime Breeze, but good, very efficient Breeze. It's more just that they're a dink and dunk offense right now. That's just kind of what they are, and that's why they can't really handle drops, because they're not going to make up for it with big plays.
Yeah, and it also, you know, it protects your quarterback, even though Ben did take a massive hit.
Couple hits today. That was rare.
But you know, it keeps him upright. It keeps his, you know, my dog is still upset with your commentary on the football team. as, you know, she makes an appearance. But
what's her name?
Penelope.
Penelope. How many dogs do you have, by the way?
Just the one.
Oh, okay. And I thought you had like a multiple pet situation, but maybe
no. There's an army of cats, but there's
oh, that's what
one.
I mean. So you have multiple cats, a dog, two kids, including an infant.
Yeah.
Do you ever think, like, once you get the kid, do we need these pets still?
You know, it's just a lot. No, yeah. I mean, no offense to this beautiful creature behind me, but there's we're full. We're all full here. hopefully, everybody else could have a fulfilling situation with their with their furry friends. But see, she's that's good. Literally she's upset with this conversation.
I don't even know where we left off. I don't know where we are. It's 2020.
I somehow just got too excited about the football team there and Alex Smith 2020 action.
Pittsburgh, it's funny because Pittsburgh, you know, they don't feel like a 16-0 type of team. But they're also clearly one of the best teams in the league. So I almost feel like people are a little too eager to like dismiss what they've done because they're a little lucky to be undefeated. It's like, yeah, okay, they're a little lucky, but they have a pretty efficient offense, not a great running game, a great defense, and they're in that tier of like tier 2 to 5 for me in the NFL behind the Chiefs.
And that's the thing, like I hate to break it to everybody, but like if you're going to win 15 or 16 football games, you're going to be lucky. Like it's not something that you do, and it's just like, yeah, we did that. We're really good. Like, it, you know, blades of grass can change an entire season. You know, we saw what happened with the Cowboys and their quarterback, with the Giants, their star running back. I mean, it's not easy to do. And so if you win them all, then it's an incredible accomplishment. It doesn't matter, like, if you squeak by or, like, Willie Snead drops a pass or something. Like,
right.
you won all your football games. Congratulations.
They were pissed, though. They were pissed. I got a little bit of postgame, and Ben Roethlisberger is still standing there. By the way, Mina Kimes called him Grew Breeze instead of Big. I've been calling him Big Breeze, and she went with Grew Breeze, and that's Grew better. Breeze. That's actually better. And now her nickname has displaced mine, which is unfortunate for me. But I think that's a better nickname.
No, why would you? Don't be defeated.
Grew Breeze is fun.
No, it's funny, but Big Breeze, you know it. You know, it makes you think, like, what if they're basically the same player, just one is significantly larger than the other one?
Roethlisberger, and we'll wrap up pretty quickly. I know you want to get to your family here, and this game was we need to move on to week 13 for the good of society. He was, like, really commenting how this game wasn't good enough, and he was all pissed. And then Mike Tomlin said that they were JV in all three phrases. So they definitely came into it thinking they were going to beat the zombie Ravens by a lot, I think, and enjoy it. And Roethlisberger made a good point that he thought the toughest part about the whole last week was just mental, kind of trying to stay ready and not knowing exactly what to do. And that's why it was a weird game. And division games are weird. People really underrate that fact. Division games where the two teams know each other are weird. So give them a little bit of a pass, and now they get a short week, and the Ravens get a slightly longer week before they play your Dallas Cowboys.
Whose? Are you pointing to the dog?
No.
Not you. My Dallas Cowboys.
You used to be. I've tried to get this theme going. And
yeah, you
really
try to make
worked.
It a thing, but yeah, I'm just a little too good at the honesty thing.
All right. I think that'll do it. This felt like what it was, like, as much as we were going to get. Like, this was it. This was the culmination of where we've been pointing to all season. RG3 and 4 turnovers in the first, like, 10 minutes of a game on a Wednesday afternoon. But I don't think it is. We're probably heading for more. We're probably getting weirder, Patrick.
Yeah, I wouldn't put it past 2020 to be significantly weirder as things go on.
All right, check out Patrick Claibon 3 times a week on Fantasy Live on NFL Network. Woo! We will be back with you on Friday. So that's a day later than our normal preview show, our TV show, pushed partly because of this weird game. So we're all adjusting. That will air on NFL Network on Saturday morning, of course. And we might have a little bit of a special surprise guest on Friday.
Oh.
For part of the show. Just part. We'll see.
That's a tease.
Just a little bit of a tease. Until then, see you later. Let's cut it off at until then. Just like how this thing ending. We'll be right back.